out of the West comes America's famous fighting cowboy, Red Ryder.
Almost saw through, Ansel.
Yep. Yeah, that vessel won't hold a toy train now, Rip.
Good. Now grab these tools and get out of here. We gotta run for our lives. Come on.
Hey, now, this story sounds like a honey, doesn't it? Trains and bad men and Red Ryder undoubtedly in there for a rescue. Well, we'll be into Timber Tornado presently, running right into more real breathtakers. Plains of the Old West provided grazing lands for the cattle which roamed there. Separating these plains, jagged mountain ranges reared their lofty peaks, and men worked and fought in them for the fortunes they held in gold, silver, and lumber. Thus, as our story opens, we find ourselves in the office of a lumber camp owned by a man Red had met once before, Jim Corcoran. Corcoran is talking to his young son, Bobby.
Seems to me, if Red left Devil's Hole in answer to my telegram, he should have gotten up here this morning.
Why did you send for him anyhow, Pa?
You know blame well why I sent for Red. I feel since Jennings and that outfit of his set up right next to our timber, that we're in for trouble.
But gosh, Pop, you're just imagining that. I told you I saw Jennings a few days ago, and he was just as nice as he could be.
Sure he was. But I know Jennings from the old days in Michigan when we both were woods bosses. And that polecat would stab his own brother in the back if he could make a nickel out of it.
But why send for Red Ryder? If we do have any trouble, don't you think that between you and me and Rip Skinner, we could take care of Jennings no matter how ornery he turned out to be?
Son, I've never been afraid of trouble in all my life. And I know something about trouble. When you see it coming, prepare for it.
Well, you can count on me.
Sure I can, son. Sure I can. Now, suppose you run down to the cook shack and find out what supplies the cook will be needing. I'll be taking the engine down to the junction this afternoon and might as well bring back the grub for the week.
Okay, Pop.
And, by the way, if you run into Rip, tell him I'd like to see him.
Yes, sir, I sure will. Guess I won't have to. Here comes Rip now.
Come on,
Bobby. Morning, Rip. I was just going to tell you. My father wants to see you.
Come on, Mr. Corcoran. Want to see me about anything in particular?
Well, yes, Rip. It's about Jennings and that outfit of his.
Yeah? What about Jennings?
Oh, I just wanted you to keep your eyes open, Rip. I don't trust Jennings. He's a sneaking coyote if I ever saw one.
Yep, so I've heard. I wanted to talk to you about him, too.
You did, Rip? Why, what's up?
Well, here's the way I figured, boss. I hired on here as a woods boss. But if there's going to be any trouble, gun trouble, it don't seem to me that if I got to run the risk of being shot to pieces, that I'm getting enough out of it.
Yeah, I never thought of it quite that way, Rip. If you take risks for me, I suppose I should pay for them. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll add another $150 a month to your wages.
Thanks. But another $500 a month ain't a drop in the bucket.
Huh? What do you mean?
Look, Mr. Corcoran, when there's lead flying, it doesn't care who it hits. If it hits you, the owner of the outfit is killed. If I'm working for pay and I get gunned down, well, all that happens is just another hired hand is buried. Now, do you see what I mean?
Yes, Rip, I think I do. And if I understand you, I don't like what you're hinting at. I worked almost 40 years, starting as a whistle punk, to build up a lumber business. And now you come along and practically demand a partnership.
I'm not demanding nothing. I'm just telling you that if there's going to be trouble, I'm not laying my neck on the block for two bit pieces.
In other words, it's kick in with a partnership or you'll quit. Is that it?
No, not exactly. I'm certainly going to give you time to think it over.
Think it over? Nothing. I don't have to think over a proposition like that. If there's one thing I don't like, it's someone threatening to blackjack me or something. So now to save you the trouble of having to quit, here's a month's wages right now. Rip, you're through.
Yeah, that's what you think. Here, give me that money. Thanks. But I'm warning you, Corcoran. Letting me go ain't going to save you from trouble. It's just going to put you into trouble right up to your thick, bald head.
What did the old coot say when you asked him for a partnership?
Nothing else, a sucker. He had a brain in his head, he'd realize what he's in for now.
You mean you're going to make that deal with Jennings?
Why not? I know what Jennings offered of me to put Corcoran out of business, and I gave Corcoran a chance to beat his offer.
Except he didn't know he was trying to beat Jennings' offer.
Well, what of it? I gave him a chance to talk it over, but oh, no. He had his bank roll out so fast and was paying me off, he thought he was glad to get rid of me.
Okay, you don't have to take it out on me. Now, what are we going to do?
The cook told me old man Corcoran has taken the engine and one of the cars down to the junction this afternoon.
Yeah? What do you care where Corcoran's going?
I care a lot. Because when he starts that engine, he's not going to that junction. He's just taking his last trip on Earth.
To Mistopheles, Red. I never see a mountain yet that runs straight up in the air like the Sheeran does. How much further can what their bejigged lumber camp be?
Can't be much farther, Buckskin. See through that gap in those trees? That little trestle, that narrow gauge railway? Those must be the rails Corcoran uses to get his lumber from the sawmill down to the junction.
You see him, Red Ranger. And you hear a train coming, too.
Well, it isn't really a train, son. If you look now, you can see it's just an engine and one car.
It sure is a whooping it up, Red.
Yeah, it sure is a whooping it up, Buckskin. No, but I think he'll slow down for that trestle. Yeah, see, he's slowing down already.
Gosh, Red. I don't know what to say. That guy was the first railroad wreck I ever seen in my whole life.
It wasn't a railroad wreck. Looked to me as if that trestle just gave way and that little train plummeted 1,000 feet to the bottom of that gorge.
You going down there and check him up, Red Ryder?
Yes, we'll go down there all right, son, but I don't think it'll do any good. Whoever was on that train's beyond our help. But come on. And after we check over the wreckage, we don't want to waste any time finishing our trip and getting up to Jim Corcoran's office.
Well, Mr. Ryder, Pop said he thought there was going to be trouble, but I never figured he meant this kind of trouble. Having the engine he was driving jump the track and go into the gorge.
Yep. When I saw him coming down there practically wide open, I realized that he mustn't have seen the trestle. I tried to yell to him to slow down, but the next thing I knew, he'd started into the turn, jumped the track, and was pouring into the gorge like water out of a bucket.
Yeah, it's too bad he couldn't hear you, although I don't think it would have saved his life.
Why not if it just slowed down a little?
Oh, cinders to cobwebs, he did slow...
Now, look, Buckskin, let's not go back and talk about what might have happened. Certainly Rip here did everything he could to save Jim's life. Besides, it's too late now to do anything about it. You're going to keep right on operating the lumber company, aren't you, Bobby?
Why, sure, I guess so, Mr. Ryder. I really haven't had time to think.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Bobby. Likely enough, your pop told you I'd come in and quit this morning, and I feel pretty bad about, losing my temper like that. So if you'd like, I'll sign on again as Woods' boss right now.
Gee, that'd be fine, Rip. Don't you think so, Mr. Ryder?
Now, Red's going to do from here on in, Bobby. But to answer your question, yes, I think any help you can get from an experienced logger like Rip would be a godsend.
Well, that's nice of you to say that, Ryder.
Oh, just thought of something. With that trestle out, what are you going to do about getting your lumber down to the junction?
Yeah, Rip, what about that?
I've been thinking about that, too. By the time we get the construction machinery and the other stuff we need to rebuild the trestle, we'll be snowed in up here. So I thought that if we could start at the break in the tracks and lay new rails down the south side, that wouldn't take over 2 days.
The south side? Well, that's right through pretty dense timberland, isn't it? Wouldn't it be kind of dangerous sending trains through there with sparks flying?
Oh, it wouldn't be dangerous. Besides, what would you like us to do? Close up and starve to death till next spring?
Well, certainly I wouldn't. But it seems to me that an experienced woodsman like you would bend over backwards not to take a chance on having flying sparks burn off a beautiful stand of timber.
Look, Ryder, one breath you say I'm an experienced hand, and then the next you talk like you're running the job. If you want to be woods boss, it's okay with me.
Well, Kremlin, of course, girl. You know, Rip didn't say no such a thing.
Of course I didn't. I guess maybe Rip's just a little upset after what's happened. That it, Rip?
No, that's not it. I just don't like no green hands coming up here and telling me my job. From the way you talk, you'd imagine I wanted to put the Corcoran Company out of business.
From the way I talk, Rip? No, it seems to me most of that talking has come from you.
Now, see here, Ryder.
Hold it, Rip. We're not getting any place this way. I'm not looking for your job. You go right ahead as you're going, doing things as you are. Okay, fella?
Well, yeah. If that's settled, I think I'd better be getting back and telling the boys what happens from now on. Now that I'm Woods' boss again.
Bang tails to Borneo, Red. How long are you going to keep us down this here gorge, messing around with this here wreckage?
Just long enough, Buckskin.
But you got him there, Red Ryder.
No, this is a piece of 12 by 12, which was one of the uprights of that trestle.
Well, hop a jump and walk a mile. You mean to stand there and tell me you think that termites chawed it up?
Oh, I'm afraid that's one question I can't quite...
Red Ryder, someone up on top shoot him at you.
Well, he got his shot back with 300% interest.
But ain't we going to light out after the varmint, Red?
What for? By the time we climb that 1,000 feet back to our horses, he'd be 10 miles away. But having missed me once means he'll probably try it again. And if he does, you two had better duck. Because one of us is going down in a blaze of gun smoke and singing lead.
Well, as the newsmen say, you ain't heard nothing yet. Yes, there's a lot more fun, excitement, and thrills in the last half of our story of the West that lives forever. Back to our story. With Jim Corcoran killed in the alleged accident and Red Ryder up in the lumber camp, obviously smelling a rat, as we rejoin Rip Skinner, Bobby Corcoran's wood boss, he is talking to his sidekick, Ansco, and Jennings, the owner of the rival lumber company. And there is small wonder that Red Ryder comes in for the bulk of the conversation.
Well, what'd you want me to do? Let Ryder put some slugs through me? I'd hardly fired the shot when there was more lead buzzing around my ears than if I'd stirred up a hornet's nest.
Well, they shouldn't have missed him. As a matter of fact, when I told you to tail him, you should have made mighty sure he didn't get down to that wreckage.
Now, look. I didn't come over here to sit around while you two argued.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, it doesn't. Rod is here. Obviously, he's found out that you tampered with the trestle. He knows someone is out to get him. If you want the 10,000 I promised you, you'll start sitting up and paying attention.
Okay, go ahead. What have you got figured out, Mr. Jennings?
Your men starting to lay the track down the south side? Through that stand of Corcoran's virgin timber?
I just come from there myself. Them tracks ought to be ready by tomorrow afternoon.
Fair enough, Ansco. Now, if you'll just make sure Ryder doesn't stumble onto any more information, we'll have that Corcoran Lumber Company out of business by the end of the week.
If you mean running the locomotive through that timber and setting fire...
Never mind the arguments. I know just what you're going to say. That Ryder spoke to you about that already. Well, what of it? The train runs through, and what's left of the kid's timber is burned off. What'll Ryder do about that? Nothing. Won't be able to prove nothing. Besides, it'll be too late.
Okay, Jennings. You're dealing a card. I'm just playing a hand in your game.
If you play it my way, you're playing a winning hand. With a pot of 10,000 nice, crisp bills to pay off. Report to me when the tracks are laid.
He's right, Rip.
Of course I'm right. You better make sure you're right. Because if this thing slips up, then Corcoran won't be the only man on this mountain who will have lost his life in an accident. Yes, little Beaver.
How long are we going to stay here watching this here lumber office?
Well, in the first place, son, it isn't this here lumber office. This is the headquarters of Jennings and his outfit. And in the second place, we're going to stay here until sunup watching it. Or else, with what little time is left, how am I ever going to find out if Rip and Jennings are in this thing together?
Well, Slumberland or Sandman, this here staying up all night ain't easy, son.
Sounds like someone's coming.
Isn't just one man, Red Rider,
it's two. Rain down to Rover, you see who it is, Red? You was right. It's that there crooked army, no good polecat, Rip Skinner. Hey, let's get out there.
Oh, now, sit still. You go barging up there to that office with no proof, and not only will we get him wrong, but we'll tip him off that we're wise to something.
Well, then, what are you going to do about him, Red Rider?
The only thing we can do under the circumstances, sit tight, keep our eyes wide open, and pray for the best.
What's the matter with you, Red? Your eyes look like two burned holes in a blanket this morning.
Well, crawlers to cinnamon buns, why shouldn't they?
Buckskin, someday you're going to open your mouth and I'm going to put my foot in it.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Red, yeah, sure.
Oh, must be the altitude that gets my eyes, Bobby. Not used to being 6,000 feet in the air. Now to get down to cases. Have you seen your woods boss around this morning?
Rick? Well, they told me he's going down to see if the section gang got the track all laid down at the south slope.
Uh-huh. And you're still not worried about starting a fire through there, are you, Bobby?
Why should I be? Rip's a good man. He wouldn't let no accidents happen.
He wouldn't stop none from happening, another. Why, if you just open your eyes...
Buckskin, never mind about Bobby opening his eyes. Be your eyes, I'm going to close personally. Well, that looks like Rip climbing the steps now.
Morning, everybody. How's the big boss this morning?
Just fine, Rip. Track all laid?
Yep. By tomorrow this time, we'll have hauled enough lumber from the sawmill to the junction to get the cash for the payroll.
Oh, that's a relief. I was kind of worrying about that.
Well, Bobby, once that load gets down the south slope and I see that you're operating again, I'm going to be heading back for Painted Valley.
What's the matter, Ryder? You ought to hang around. This is a healthy climate we got up here.
Really? Had an idea it might be unhealthy. For me.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, after Jim's accident, and then yesterday some Jasper accidentally shot off a gun and accidentally almost blew my head off, sort of got to figuring maybe I'd be better off back home.
What do you think? What do you mean? What do I think? What should I know about it? I was just trying to be nice and ask you to hang around. We'll have to start talking in circles again.
Circles might be the proper things to talk in at that when the time comes. We might even get a few extra circles made of hemp, just like the noose on a hangman's rope.
Oh. I'm starting to get your drift. Well, Redhead, then maybe I was right about you hanging around.
Really? Well, I wouldn't know. Oh, I'm sorry, Bobby. Rip probably came in on business. Didn't mean to intrude.
Well, thanks, Ryder. Bobby, the track's nearly all laid. I got the crew loading the lumber on the flat cars now. Any orders before I shove off at the junction?
Orders? No, none that I can think of, Rip. You know what to do.
I'm sure he does.
Thanks, Redhead. Well, if that's all, I'll be going. See you in the morning.
Hey, Red, where are you going?
Oh, I figured while we were up here, Bobby, we might do a little hunting. Right now, I thought I'd get out and see what luck I'd have if I set a trap or two for a couple of well-trained pole dancers.
Okay, rain up.
Easy, Captain. Oh, Dredger, what are we doing out here?
Come on, I'll show you. Now, see over there? Those are the new tracks Rip had laid down the south slope.
But these are above the beer barrels, Red. What are we going to do, play choo-choo?
Play choo-choo? Yeah, maybe in a way. Because we're going to move two sections of track the other side of that switch.
We don't get them new at all.
And you will. You see there to the left? Those other rails? Now, those are the rails that run down from Jennings' sawmill, swing through here, then they make a U-turn, and they go on down to the junction through Jennings' timberland.
Yeah, but...
So I thought if Jennings and Rip were in this together, trying to cripple Bobby Cochran, we might teach them the turnabout's fair play by the simple device of moving two rails and tying Bobby's track in with Jennings' track and letting that lumber train run down toward the junction through Jennings' timber.
Well, I'll be a three-sided hoghead. I don't get it.
Well, look, maybe I don't get it either. I don't know. It's a wild idea, but from where I stand, it certainly looks like a good enough one to try. So instead of standing there scratching what passes for your head, come on, let's get busy on that switch section. That train with Rip in the cab of the locomotive is going to be cutting through here in about 1/2 hour.
We'll be hitting a new rail soon and starting to plow through that heavy sand of timber.
You think it's time to start throwing those pitch knots in the fire?
Yeah, I guess so. We want to throw out a shower of sparks that'll look like the 4th of July. Get busy.
Hey, Rip, throw that boiler door open. Here we go.
Well, now, once them pine knots start burning and that pitch oozes out and gets in with the sparks, we're going to earn that $10,000 in a mighty big way. Better signal Jennings that we're coming. He's probably chewing his nails right down to his wrist.
Well, Jennings' two hirelings are right on their way to burn down every last stick belonging to young Bobby Cochran. So there's no question but what Red was right in his guess. Still, guessing right and doing something about it are two different things. Again to our Western Adventure yarn. We find that Red has not been asleep at the switch. In fact, he's standing at the switch just waiting for the lumber train to roar close enough to him to throw the lever and send the train rocketing down through Jennings' timberland.
The Dredger, here's the lumber train now.
Right, son. Come on, Buckskin. Help me throw this switch.
All right,
now, that'll send that train down through Jennings' timber. And if it's showering sparks, he's going to be awfully surprised to find that he's burned out of business. Come on, we've got to hit those horses. Move down a mile or so. Jennings ought to be near the right-of-way just waiting for us.
Wow! Look at those sparks fly. Hey, Esco.
Yeah, Rip.
See what's happening? The sparks are landing on the treetops and they're starting to blaze.
What a fire this is going to be.
I'll be awful sorry for anybody left up on this side of the mountain. That Corker and Kid ain't got a gap in the...
Hey, Rip, what's that? Someone's shooting at us. There it goes again. Rip, who is it?
I don't see no one on the right of way. What the deuce? Ansco, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy, what are you trying to do, double cross us?
Why, that dirty coyote. I'll fix him.
Rip, what's the idea of stopping here? We'll be caught in the fire and burned to death.
No, no, we won't. Here we are. We're taking Jennings with us.
Rip! You fool! You crazy!
I'll say how crazy I am, you double-crosser!
Stop it! Put that gun up!
I was shooting at you to stop it, not to hit you.
Stop us? What for?
Because, you lame-brained buzzard, you switched over back there and you're setting fire to my land.
It can't be. This is Corcoran's timber. Just like you told me.
Well, thanks, Rip. That little speech is just about enough to send a lot of you to jail for life.
Rip, it's Ryder.
Why, that mealy mouth.
Next one to go for his gun gets led in him.
All right, okay, Buckskin. Get the shooting irons. We're putting these monkeys back into that locomotive and take them down to the junction personally. And from that locomotive cab, Mr. Jennings should get a wonderful picture of his timberland going up in a blaze of flame and glory.
We'll put those cutthroats away for us.
Well, Rip and Ansco probably for life. Jennings is going to get a lighter sentence for turning state's evidence on who wrecked the trestle and killed your father.
Well, yippee-dee-yahoo. I sure hate to be in Jennings' shoes when he gets out, though. His timberland burnt to charcoal and not a nickel in the world.
By that time, Bobby will be full-grown man and have a big lumber business.
Yeah. Hold still, Thunder. Cool, boy. Well, Bobby, we've got to get down to sea level.
Yeah. So let's get on home. Get up, Sylvia.
Go home, son.
Bye, Bye. Bobby. Get up, Matthew.
All right, stop running, boy. Out there. Come on, Thunder.